And welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the matchup coming up on Sunday between the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. Jim, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Not too much. Hope you guys are doing well.
Hope you are as well. And, Jim, it's interesting. You look at the matchup coming up on Sunday, and obviously a very familiar opponent for the Titans and their fan base. As you look back at some of the big-time matchups in the postseason between these two teams and these two franchises, where do you think this rivalry with the Ravens ranks with Titans fans as you look at the big picture of their history in Nashville?
Well, I mean, it just depends on what age of a Titan fan you're talking about. Because I contend the people who have been with this team from the beginning, this is number one, and until something intensifies with other teams, then it's going to be number one. I mean, the 2000 season when the Titans, I think, had the best team that they've had to date, a team that should have won the Super Bowl, better than the '99 team. That team lost to the Ravens here in a memorable game at Nissan Stadium when special teams was a disaster and Titans outgained them, you know, 3-1 and still lost the game. Titans go down to Baltimore in 2003, another slugfest at Gary Anderson, you know, kicks a field goal to win it at the end. You come back here in 2008 and Titans had the number one seed again. Ravens come in here and win. And I think all of those games kind of, you know, the intensity was unlike any that I've seen, you know, covering the Titans. And there was a lot of back and forth. I mean, I've covered the Titans as, you know, since 99. I was a full-time beat guy in 2001 and have been ever since. Before that, I was covering, but I was also, you know, bounce around to other cities before games. And I went to Baltimore, you know, previewing some of those Titans games. And the hatred there was the same and the disrespect for the Titans and it just created some bad blood that still sticks in the minds of Titans fans today, and we've still had some memorable games set. So this is number one, and truth is, nothing's close because the Titans-Colts hasn't really been much of a rivalry of late. Titans-Texans, you know, doesn't have the same feel to it, even though the, you know, the Titans used to be in Houston, and you know, there's not another team on the schedule that true longtime Titans fans look at with the same way they do when they look at Baltimore.
So, Jim, last calendar year, of course, two wins for the Titans over the Ravens, a very different, you know, frankly, much better defense that did it a year ago in Baltimore, but still it looked similar to me in some ways in November in Baltimore with what they did, you know, kind of keeping Lamar Jackson hemmed in, not letting him go north and south, you know, doing a good job in general against the run. Do you think that they have a formula that's sustainable in this matchup, or do you think it could be markedly different with that matchup in particular Sunday?
Well, I think, you know, watching this Titans defense all year, you know, and obviously watched them against Baltimore, you know, earlier the season. You know, they've had their moments, but they've been few and far between. And I don't necessarily think you're going to flip a switch when you get in the playoffs and all of a sudden become a lockdown defense. I think this team's formula to success in the playoffs is going to be scoring a lot of points on offense and getting stops on third down in the red zone and creating turnovers. I think teams are going to have success moving the ball against them. You know, with Lamar Jackson, the key is trying to do some of the things you've done against them in the past, but you got to tackle and you got to swarm tackle, and you can't, you know, go for, you know, kill shots of guys have said. You've got to be smart and you got to be disciplined, and you can't get caught up in the emotions of the game. So I think the Titans win. It's going to be because the offense, you know, did its job like it has all season, and the defense, you know, kind of rises to the occasion in key moments. I expect Lamar Jackson to get his. I don't think they shut him down. Obviously, one of the big keys on Sunday, I think, is getting off to a good start, setting the tone in this game, and putting some pressure on a Ravens team that everybody, again, is talking about, a team that should win and is, you know, a team that could knock the Chiefs out. I mean, it seems like people have already kind of turned the page on the Titans, and that's probably good for Tennessee as long as you can put some pressure on them early.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Jim, as you said, I mean, you've seen a lot of Titans football. You've watched a lot of big moments and big performances from this franchise. Derrick Henry and just the run that he's been on and what he was able to do this year, getting past the 2,000-yard mark in the season that he's had, where does that accomplishment rank in the history of this Titans? You've got McNair's co-MVP year, Chris Johnson, obviously the single-season yards from scrimmage record. Where does this season from Derrick Henry rank in your mind?
Well, it's way up there. I heard you guys talking about this yesterday, just about where he ranks in the eyes of fans as far as, you know, faces of the franchise and how he compares to McNair and Eddie. And it was a different time then. I mean, they, you know, there was so much hysteria around this team when it first came to town, and they went to go to the Super Bowl the first year in the stadium. And those guys will never be forgotten because of some of that. The reality is, McNair wasn't as popular when he played as he is now. I mean, he kind of helped build his legend, you know, during the Super Bowl in 99 and during his MVP season. But, you know, anybody that was around following then and covering those teams know that a lot of people wanted Neil O'Donnell to be the quarterback until, you know, he was six years into his career. And he obviously, you know, he's turned into a much better player, and he's been adored since. And it's sad how his life ended too soon. But, you know, the fan base was kind of split on McNair for a good portion of his career here. Eddie was always looked at as the workhorse, as, you know, a guy who you couldn't keep off the field. He just played through injuries, and I think in time people look at those guys in a different way because of what they accomplished. Henry and the run that he's on right now is as good as any player that's ever played for the Titans. And Chris Johnson was exciting. I loved covering him because he had such a big personality, and he was just lightning quick and fun to watch. But what Henry's doing is kind of in a class of his own, and I think in time he's going to be remembered like those guys. And so much of his legacy depends on what happens in the postseason and as far as trophies go, because, you know, he's been outstanding in the regular season. He was great in the playoffs last year. If they could somehow get on another roll this year and he's behind it, I think he goes down easily in the same class as some of the Titans legends from those early years.
Yeah, and great points there about, you know, McNair early. I mean, my understanding, a lot of orange 16s in those crowds too, right? I mean, you got the favorite son playing for a division rival, so kind of an interesting time. But let's go to that position, Jim, the other guy, and like, I don't want to say it's infuriating. I mean, this isn't like Mariota, which people still say nationally, like they still can't figure out that it's Marcus Mariota, but it is a little frustrating for me to hear some of the analysis about Ryan Tannehill out there at this point. I feel like he's done enough to kind of change some minds on that, but maybe I'm overreacting. What do you think about his performance versus how he's viewed?
Well, I do think that people look at him as a complimentary piece and as a game manager, sadly. I mean, people who watch the Titans on a regular basis know that's not true. He's been a big part of why they've won. And he's a big part of Derrick Henry's success just because of his ability to throw the ball downfield and make throws that a lot of quarterbacks around here haven't been able to make. But I still think people look at him as a little bit of an afterthought. When I do national, you know, interviews with national sports people or people in other cities leading up to the game, I could just tell by the line of questioning that they, you know, that they don't see him the way people here do. And then sadly you go to Green Bay and when you're on center stage and everybody's watching and you just he doesn't play well, and the team doesn't play well, and it kind of adds even more fuel to that conversation. But you know, again, like Henry, there's no denying success, and if he can continue to have success in the playoffs, and I thought he did a good job last year, kind of picking a spot to making throws when he needed to. Obviously, you know, they leaned on Derek, but if this team wins, it's going to be because of both of them, and then maybe that will lead him to getting the recognition he deserves. I thought, you know, the Pro Bowl is overrated, obviously, and you know, the popularity contest, and it's hard to knock the guys that were picked in the AFC. Mahomes deserves to be there. Josh Allen has had a tremendous year, I think deserves to be there. Deshaun Watson, you know, has had a great year, no question. But you know, look at his team and look at what Tannehill has done. And I think the fact that he's getting slighted for, you know, quarterback of a team that's 4-12 just kind of speaks to you know, way some people view him.
Jim, last thing for you here. As you look ahead to the matchup coming up on Sunday against the Ravens, if you had to identify a couple of keys to victory for the Titans, what would they be?
Well, I think getting off to a good start, I think, is number one, because I think you put some pressure on Baltimore doing that. You put some pressure on Lamar Jackson and kind of put him in a situation he's been in previous playoff contests and some other games where, you know, he's got to do things differently than he wants to, and I think that's the recipe for success. I think that's what I think. Number two is continuing to be able to run the football and keep them off the field and kind of build up a little bit of a swagger during the course of the game where you get some confidence. I'm not expecting to flip a switch and all of a sudden have the defense, you know, look different than it has all season. But I do think the defense is capable of playing better. So if the offense can set a tone and take some pressure off the defense, I think that's obviously a big key as well.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. Jim, really appreciate you taking time to join us, my man, and have fun at the game on Sunday.
Okay, you guys have a good day. Thank you.
Absolutely. You as well. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Jim had to say to there. How important is it for the Titans to get out to an early lead in this game against that offense? We'll discuss when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Remember, I'll have your chance later this hour to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game. I'll have your keyword right around 8:45. You'll be entered for a chance to win, and that winner will be announced next Thursday, January 14th. So make sure you're staying tuned for that. Thanks to Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Lewis Riddick from ESPN joining us at 9 o'clock. Adam Vingan drops by at 9:30 for the latest on the Nashville Predators at training camp as well. So still a lot to get to here on today's show. And as always, we'll take your reaction all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, it was interesting, like talking to Jim, obviously, who's been around since day one of the Titans and has seen everything that's happened with this franchise. As you look at the rivalries out there, you've got the Colts, you've got the Texans, you've got the Jags, but I agree. I don't think really anything compares to the Titans and the Ravens, given the playoff history between the two teams, you know, the back-and-forth nature of the way those playoff games have gone, and just the intensity of it, especially between the fan bases. When the team first got here in Nashville, it was just, I mean, it was nasty. The teams hated each other. The fans hated each other. And I think if you've been here for a long time, the Ravens still number one on the list. And now it's interesting to compare, you know, the rivalry now to what it used to be, because obviously the hostility when you were playing in the same division, you met in the playoffs, and you had guys like Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, Eddie George, Steve McNair, and just how physical those games were. It's not the same now, but it is interesting, like the new generation of this rivalry I think Titans fans are getting back to the point where they're starting to hate Baltimore as much as they did back in the glory days for the Titans with Eddie George and Steve McNair.
Yeah, so the one thing about the old days is, to me especially, Eddie George, Ray Lewis.
Yeah,
that was the personification of the rivalry. I mean, that was like, okay, two guys who just, and it's, of course they're friends now, which is cool, but I mean they went at each other, and so you don't have that. Maybe there's someone on that Ravens defense who can get, take a Derrick Henry stiff arm Sunday and, give him a hard shot back or something, but it's not quite the same that way. But I think with the fans, the Ravens took the Titans Super Bowl. I mean, and the Ravens, look, that was one of the all-time great defenses, that Ray Lewis defense of the 2000 season. I mean, I think they gave up like 17 points or 20 total points, something like that, in that entire playoff run. So they were worthy, but the Titans would have won that Super Bowl, So they took that one, and then they won another one since, by the way, and the Titans are still trying to get back. So there's that, and then there's just the fact that whoever is on the road in this game, in the playoffs, wins the game. Three shockers, one not as much shocker, but it was a 5-4 win for the Titans at Baltimore, and now we're back to that kind of matchup Sunday.
And I do wonder, from a Ravens fan standpoint, where Derrick Henry is starting to fall on the list in terms of players that they hate the most, because I don't know if it'll ever be like Eddie George, just based on, like you said, I mean, him and Ray Lewis, the battles that those two had. I mean, it just personified the rivalry, and Baltimore fans hated Eddie George, but they also had a decent amount of success against Eddie George as well. Like, I think back to, I think it was the playoff game in 03, there's a bunch of signs in the crowd in Baltimore talking about how Baltimore's, Eddie George's daddy and stuff like that. And he got injured in that game and went off the field, and they're just yelling at him running through the tunnel. He comes back out and comes back into the game, and the Titans end up winning that game in the playoffs. So you had that, just hatred there at Eddie George from Baltimore fans. I mean, Derrick Henry's not getting up and mouthing after every play in the same way Eddie George did, and just how intense those were. But, I mean, Derrick Henry's just killed them the last two times that they've played, obviously in the playoff game last year and then the walk-off touchdown this year in overtime. I do wonder where Derrick Henry's starting to fall on the list for Ravens fans as just players that they absolutely despise.
Yeah. Certainly he is a player for every fan base, every week, every team, every week. You stop him and you've done something big. It's that celebration. Like we talk about that first carry, he gets a yard maybe on the first carry every game, right? It's like, everybody's all riled up. So there's that. Now, Derrick Henry is not, I don't think he's a very, unlikable person.
No.
And so I'm not saying Eddie George was, but Eddie George was so outspoken that if he was screaming at your guys, and you could more easily dislike him. But yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry's the focal point for opponents. And if he has a big game and another win on, so he dominates last January. He has the overtime touchdown run to leave him at 133 in November. And again, by the way, the Ravens did a pretty good job against him. And then, but again, it's can you stop him at the end when you're a little bit more tired? And then, so if he has a big game Sunday and the Titans win, then, the Ravens killer title will apply to him.
So we heard Jim talk about the key to this game, and the number one key that he led off with was getting off to a good start, especially offensively, and being able to play from ahead, play with the lead, keep the running game involved. And that's obviously with this defense that the Titans have, that's important every week. You got to keep your full playbook available to you and in the game. But is it even more important in a game like this, just given the way that Lamar Jackson and that Ravens offense likes to operate? I mean, obviously, they're very heavily reliant on the running game as well. How important is getting off to a good start in this game and playing with the lead for the Titans, specifically in this matchup against Baltimore?
I mean, I can't imagine a matchup where that's more important. Not just like this year, like in a lot of years, like in most years, you wouldn't find a playoff game where both teams so badly want to lead after the first quarter. And I think it's more important for Baltimore because they just, they just are so different playing from ahead versus trying to play from behind. And the Titans can come back. The Titans, Ryan Tannehill can bring them back from, you know, multi-score deficits to get back into a game. But again, if you can play from ahead, how much does that hurt your opponent? A lot, you know? So, I mean, I think this first quarter, these first few possessions are, they're always important at every football game. Every possession matters, all these games, you know, but this matchup, I think the first two possessions for each team is, it's a huge, you know? And again, I think Baltimore's more at a disadvantage if you can take the lead on them. But if they set the tone and they are playing from ahead like they are so good at doing, then how does that change the game? Now, it's also worth remembering Baltimore was up 21-10 in this matchup in November.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson hit a deep pass, gave Malcolm Butler a little bump in the end zone, and it was like, okay, Baltimore's about to smack him around here and get a little retribution for last January. The Titans came back from that. You know, so they're case in point against this team. Ryan Tannehill has done that, and they kept running Derrick Henry too. So it's not devastating to the Titans if they don't have a great start, but I think it could be a real problem for the Ravens, and you put some doubt in their heads. And again, they're on a roll, just like they were on a roll a year ago. So it's kind of been a while, really, since that game in Cleveland that they've had to sweat anything.
Yeah, and it sounds crazy, like you want to make the Ravens one-dimensional and to have to throw the ball because, you know, we read off that stat the other day that TD threw out there that the Titans defense has allowed 36 passing touchdowns this season, and according to ESPN stats and info, that ties them with the 08 Cardinals for the most ever surrendered by a playoff team. So you think to yourself, all right, I mean, if they start throwing the ball around, this Titans defense pretty susceptible to the pass as they have been all season long, but it's just different with this offense. I mean, Lamar Jackson, he can hit you on the deep ball. Hollywood Brown, he's got speed to make deep plays down the field. We just haven't seen it a ton this year from this Ravens offense. Like, the big plays haven't come as often. What I'd be more concerned about if I'm the Titans in the passing game is Mark Andrews and what he can do to you over the middle. We saw it at times last in the last matchup against the Ravens. That's got to be in the passing game. Probably the number one area of concern to me is just the damage over the middle that Mark Andrews can do.
Yeah, and you have to give something up. I mean, look, if you're just so devoted, Titans have done a good job against the run, but you still have to devote so much to stopping that in this game. I mean, your corners, and this has worked out well for the Titans compared to other matchups, but your corners, like, their tackling in this game is so important.
Yeah.
And it's always important, but in this game, it is so important. So, like, Adoree Jackson, that's big for the Titans to have him back. But in a lot of instances on that field, like, someone like Breon Borders might actually fit this game better. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying you don't play Adoree Jackson. I'm just saying, you know, it's just some of your defensive players are playing kind of a different kind of game in this matchup than they are most weeks, you know. But Andrews is a guy, very tough cover. It'll be interesting to see what the Titans do with him. You know, how David Long is deployed, how Kevin Byard is deployed in that way. The coverages, you know, I think they're going to mix it up for sure, play a mix of zone and man. There was a stat the other day that I want to say the Titans play the most or very short list of most man of any NFL team this year, which is interesting given, you know, their struggles back there. But it's still a big challenge, even though they have done a good job defensively twice. It does not guarantee any kind of success here. And I think the start is a big part psychologically of how this game will go.
So, Titans fans, where's your confidence heading into this game against the Ravens coming up on Sunday, given what you've seen out of the Titans this year, given the role that the Ravens have been on in their past five games? Let us know at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Elijah, you've been rocking the bump music today. We've had a lot of text about the songs you've chosen. Very good.
Oh, I need to go look at those. Son. Yeah, I should probably
People
pull that
curious
up.
Curious about, you know, the things you're picking. Joe Rexroad's liked it so far.
Oh yeah, I'm a man of the people. That's what I'm bringing to the table today. Is the DJ skills.
Listen, I don't want to rip Ryan Porth any more than I already do.
Yes, you do.
But I kind of prefer some Elijah bump music. He's throwing a little Hives in there, got a little hip hop going on. And by the way, no poll today. Is it so? Are we not allowed to do an online poll?
If I recall, you were given the responsibility yesterday to come up with a poll question, and I have yet to see one from you, Joe Rexroad.
Oh, is it Joe's responsibility?
Yeah.
Usually that'd be me when I come.
I don't
out.
Know. So wait, but so then I would have just done that on my own account?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we could still figure it out. You got time. Come up with a poll question, Joe. And we could tweet it out from any account you want to tweet it out from.
All right, I will. I will take that challenge.
You have been ripping Porth poll questions all week long, and quite frankly, he's sick of it. So we'll see if you can do any better here. I know you figured it out last week on your own account. You got your poll question going. I feel like this should be a daily thing from you now.
It might have to be. Apparently, I've missed out on that. So Joe is the new poll commissioner.
Yes,
here is what I'm getting.
Well, and you know, now full disclosure on that. Normally, if I'm in the studio, we sort of talk it through,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's just that my guidance is missed by Ryan.
Could be.
He just needs a little bit more guidance.
I think
but
that
yes,
was.
I will.
That was a nice, subtle way for Rexroad to take another shot at Porth there. Just the guidance has not been there, and therefore Porth has just totally fallen apart. I love it. Way to go, Joe.
I mean, they're not terrible polls, but they could just be better. So, yes, I will come up with one in the next few minutes.
Very good. Thank you very much. So we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, and it's been difficult to get a read on Titans fans and, like, how they're feeling heading into this game. What's the confidence level of Titans fans heading into this game against the Ravens? Because on one hand, yes, the defense has been awful. It has sucked. And like Jim Wyatt said, I don't expect like this magical switch to get flipped with the Titans defense and for them to all of a sudden come out in the playoffs and just be, you know, this lockdown, shutdown defense that's making plays all over the field. But you think back to the last matchup against Baltimore, and then even back to the playoffs a year ago against this offense specifically, you have been able to do some good things. You have been able to have a moderate level of success even this year against Baltimore and this offense. So it's an interesting matchup. I think it's, of the options that were out there for this defense, one of the better matchups that you could have asked for heading into the playoffs. And yet I think Titans fans are still nervous. I've had a buddy of mine, Jordan, who's a massive Titans fan, text me in the middle of the show today and say, I have never been more nervous about a game. I'm just so nervous about this Ravens game. So it is interesting. You're 11-5. You've won the division for the first time since 2008. You're going up against a team you've had a lot of success against recently, but that defense, I think, is hanging around so heavily in people's minds that it's just very difficult to be confident heading into this game.
Yeah, it is to some extent. It's you know, it's how much do you believe in the offense versus how much do you not believe in the defense? It's probably, I mean, I don't think it's fair to say it's exactly 50-50 because this team went 11-5. Now, this team also started 5-0 and went 6-5 from there. But hey, 11-5 division champs, you've done more good than bad. So your offensive greatness has outweighed your defensive badness. Not as much as you wanted, and I think if you had a so-so defense this year, you might have been in there competing at least for like the two, if not the one. I mean, you might have had a couple more wins and been right there, but it's still, you'd rather have the great offense than the great defense right now. No question about that. It's just a question of, like Jim Wyatt said earlier, you know, he still thinks this defense can play better. I would agree with that. I don't think it's hopeless. I think that if there's one thing that's hopeless or just very doubtful to improve, it's straight up four-man pass rush getting any kind of pressure on someone.
Right.
But again, even in this matchup, that's less important than, you know, really over the duration of a game against this offense, that's less important than having the right run fits and carrying out your assignment in defensive assignment football against option football. And then again, the right run fits when they're doing more traditional stuff and tackling, you know, but I still think that there are some guys on this team, on this defense, who have done enough good things to think that they could play better.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Frederick from Stockbridge, Georgia, text in and says, I'm about 55 to 60% confident in a Titans win. The offense must start fast, and the defense needs key stops in the red zone. 28 to 24 Titans in this game. So Frederick calling a close 28 to 24 Titans win in this game. That's going to be so key, is the red zone and being able to come up with stops there, force field goals if you're the Titans. And then, as we have seen them do at times this year defensively, come up with a play or two here and there where you get a hand on a ball, you're able to make a big interception like they did earlier this year against Baltimore, making one or two of those game-changing plays defensively that force some turnovers and give the ball back in your hands of the offense. Like, I agree with Jim. I don't think that they're going to go out here and just totally shut down Lamar Jackson in this Ravens offense. I think he'll get his yards. I think the Ravens will find a way to move the ball. But if you can hold your own in the red zone and make one or two plays throughout the game where maybe you get your hands on the ball and you force a couple turnovers, that to me is the formula for a good day defensively for this Titans team.
Yeah, the red zone, again, this is always important. I mean, and also the turnovers. But, you know, the Titans tied for first in turnover margin this year, which is a weird stat when you're that bad on defense. When you give up 36 TD passes, only have 19 sacks, you needed four in the last game to do it, and you lead the league in turnover margin, obviously that speaks to your offense doing a great job. But still, you've created more turnovers than you would suggest by performance defensively. And then red zone D, I mean, just so big in this game. The Ravens are going to move between the 20s. Everyone will move between the 20s against the Titans. Force them into field goals. I mean, Lamar Jackson almost won the first game. And in fact, if there wasn't a penalty on them, I think he does win the first game with a walk-in, a little, I think it was Hollywood Brown, a little walk-in.
Like bubble screen, yeah.
A little receiver screen. You know, he took him right down the field, but there were other moments in that game where, you know, maybe it was him being late on a throw too. Byard actually made a big play in the first half in the red zone, but they got some stops in those situations, and that's going to be massive because the Titans, you expect on their end to be scoring in those situations. They're, I think, second in red zone O, first in goal to go offense in the whole NFL.
So, Joe Rexroad, you were tasked earlier in this segment about coming up with a poll question. You are now the poll question king right here on our Robbie and Rexroad show, and you've already done so. What is the poll question that you come up with today, which we will now tweet out at 1025 The Game on Twitter?
I'd like to point out that I did this while talking about other things.
Yes, very impressive.
This is like rubbing your stomach and patting your head. You know, it sounds easy, but then go ahead and try it.
Yes.
So I came up with, and look, this is a little bit of a conversation we've had, but I think it's a good poll question. Which Titans defensive player most needs to have a career game for the Titans to win Sunday? Now, you guys can disagree. I didn't have to do an other. I did an other. We could put a fourth person in there, but I went with the choices of Kevin Byard, Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons, and other.
Okay.
Now, the other, we could throw someone else in there. We could throw in a corner. We could throw in David Long Jr. You know, we could do something like that. But I like those three guys. You've got every level of the defense. And I think it's like can your guy get it? Harold Landry got the biggest defensive play of that game, that sack in overtime. Obviously, Byard, he got a huge pick in the playoff game last year. And Simmons, we've talked about him. I mean, I just think a game like this, if he can be a wrecker in there, you just make everything easier for everyone else.
Would you like to take this opportunity to combine anyone in the poll, like Ryan Porth did yesterday with Steve McNair and Eddie George?
I would not, because I think that these people all deserve their own spot in the poll. Unlike a poor, the legends from old have to get lumped together, according to Ryan Porth. By the way, you set that up. You are like wanting me to rip him.
I am. I really am. It's so much fun for me to just sit here and watch his face as you rip him. Now, I can't do that today because he's not here, but Elijah's face while you do it too is also acceptable. It's great.
I can just imagine pour his face right now. I hope he's listening.
I hope he is as well. So that's the poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter, coming from our very own Joe Rexroad. When we come back, what sort of a run is it going to take for the Titans in this playoff for you to consider this season a success? We'll debate that on the other side. Also, I'll have the keyword of the day to announce for our competition revolving the Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and EA Sports NHL 21. So make sure you're tuned in for that as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Lewis Riddick from ESPN, part of the Monday Night Football broadcast, will be joining us to begin the 9 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that. One of the best minds in the business talking all things NFL. So that's coming up at 9 o'clock. But right now, I've got today's keyword of the day. And today's keyword is jersey. Today's keyword, jersey. Text it in now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Tune in tomorrow at 8:45 for the next keyword. The winner will be announced on Thursday, January the 14th, so 1 week from today. Also, make sure you're tuning in every Preds game day morning at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, also brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So, Joe, let's quickly go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in and says, regarding the Titans, my confidence is low. The revenge factor does worry me, and we haven't looked great in big games this year. I think we can win, but I think we have to play a perfect game with no turnovers, have to get turnovers, and have to score touchdowns in the red zone to win, and that's hard to count on week in and week out in this league.
Well, yeah, I agree with all that. You know, I think that the turnover battle, you want to at least be even in that turnover battle, and the red zone is huge. You know, it is. Listen, I think you can count on – I mean, as much as you can count on anything, you can count on the Titans to execute in the red zone, especially, again, goal to go. They are number one in the NFL. Doesn't guarantee success every time, but they're great at it. So if you got a team – if your team is great at something – then that you better, you know, your team better do it in the playoffs, right? I mean, things that you do well all year, you have to be able to count on that, or else you're just going to get bounced. The stuff, anything defensively is sort of it's hard to count on. It's hard to, you know, but this team has been able to get some timely turnovers and, of course, has had some big red zone stops, has had some big goal line stops, of course. And you go back to the game last year, those fourth and ones to me, as big as anything in that game. I mean, Derrick Henry dominated it. The Cleve Raymond touchdown pass was a huge moment, but those two fourth and one stops were big.
Agree. And, you know, if you get to the Titans on the goal line, that's the one part of their defense you feel great about. Like, if it's third and one from the 1 yard line and they try to run it right at the middle, for some reason, the Titans defense is just legendary at that time. Rashawn Evans turns into like this human bowling ball coming through the line of scrimmage and nails people. So, If you're an offensive coordinator out there and you're watching the Titans, the one thing I would take away in terms of their strengths defensively, don't try to run it against them on the goal line. They're quite good at stopping those plays.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. You know, I guess some of it is some things get simplified, you know, if you're Rashawn Evans in those situations and it's just like, you know, use, because obviously he is a tremendous and powerful athlete.
Sure.
But that is the one thing that they have taken from last year and really the last few years to this year, and a lot of other things they have not taken with them.
So, Joe, we knew the expectations coming into this year for the Titans were going to be high. You were just coming off a trip to the AFC title game. You wanted to take that next step with the pass rush. You brought in Clowney. You brought in Beasley. We know how that worked out, and quite frankly, it's laughable to think about the pass rush trying to take the next step from what it was last year, where I believe 43 sacks they had. You finished this year with 19, so a massive drop-off on that area. But again, you're 11-5. You win the division for the first time since 08. You got a home playoff game for the first time since that season as well. What do you think the Titans have to do in the playoffs here for this season to be considered a success? Is it as simple as getting back to the AFC title game? That's going to have to be the bar, since that's where you were last year. How would you answer that question?
Well, some people might say, well, we got to the AFC title game last year. I mean, you're supposed to be right. You're supposed to be growing. I mean, either you're getting better or you're getting worse. So Super Bowl or bust. Now, realistically, if you're watching this team, I mean, the expectations, it's interesting to say this, but the expectations have gone down in an 11-5 season. The expectations have gone down in the best season in 12 years, in the first division title season in 12 years, the expectations in January have gone down, which, and that's just reality because of the defense. So if you're a realistic fan, I mean, I think you certainly want to win at least a playoff game, and then you probably get a shot at Kansas City. If you lose a close game there, how do you look at the whole thing? You know, it's probably tough. It's like, gosh, you got another shot at Kansas City, didn't get it done. But also, you were worried that with this defense, you might not win a game. It's hard for me to define it. I think it very much depends on the individual in question and how they look at things.
Yeah, I think there's obviously a subjective part to this as well. But the way I kind of view this Titans team right now, number one, I think you need to stop and appreciate winning the division and that being a success in and of itself, regardless of what happens in the postseason. I realize you're ultimately judged by what happens in the playoffs. That's the way it should be. That's the way it is, and that's how pro sports work. I get all that. But number one, I mean, we talked about it heading into the season. A big goal this year was to win the division and get back to hosting home playoff games. They've accomplished that, and I think that's something, as Jonnu Smith said earlier in the show, to be proud of and to appreciate if you're a Titans fan. Now, I agree with you. Based on what we've seen defensively out of this team, it's difficult to envision a deep playoff run this year, or at least one that ends up in an appearance in the Super Bowl. It's not, you know, impossible or out of the question, given how good the offense is. But to Tyler's point, who texted in our text line earlier in this segment, it's going to take a lot of things going right for that defense to give yourself a chance to make a deep run in this postseason. So, you know, if you lose Sunday, I think a lot of people are going to view this season as a failure, just based on the defense, based on the steps you tried to take, and it just backfiring on you at that point if you're John Robinson. And quite frankly, like I think regardless of when the Titans lose or if the Titans lose in this playoff run, the defense is probably going to be the main culprit. And if that's the case, I think regardless of when it is, even if it's in the AFC title game, you're going to have a lot of people looking around at John Robinson and saying, man, if you just hit on like one of those moves defensively, what could this team have looked like? How much of a difference could it made? So it's a unique set of circumstances from that point. I think because of how awful the defense has been, I think that's going to be a question mark, something that people bring up regardless of when and if the Titans lose during this run.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. I also think these things get viewed in terms of, you know, where you are in the quote unquote window.
Right.
And you can look at that different ways. I mean, there's some guys coming up. This is an off season in which the Titans can lose and will lose some key players. And we don't know how many exactly, but they've got some important guys coming up here. And it's obviously a different year with the cap and all that stuff. But I mean, if you want to look at the window, I do view the window. Bottom line is right now they've got two great players at two critical positions that just got signed to long-term deals. I'm not saying that makes everybody feel all, you know, peachy and hunky-dory if they lose Sunday, but I think it's yes, that obviously bad offseason. You're trying to take another step. You went for it, and you slipped and fell, but you got these guys locked up. You got other good pieces in place. Again, I really like the offensive line right now and where it is moving forward, even with a first-round pick that right now is a complete bust. So you look at it, too, like how much do you have to do in a good offseason to come back and take another crack at it? You know, I think there's a optimism. There should be an optimism that the next few years – they got a chance because they've got those two guys locked up and signed to good deals, and that should have them in the mix.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, let's say we show up against the Ravens and win this game. How does our defense match up to the Chiefs in the AFC? Joe, in short, it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about that. It matches up way worse. I mean, this matchup, again, a lot of this is, are you tackling? You know, are you being physical? Are you swarming? And certainly, you got to read keys, and you got to not let the ball go over your head, because the Ravens like to do that to you too. You got to cover Mark Andrews, but you take it to that matchup. I will say this: Christian Fulton is back out there. Adoree Jackson is back out there. If you just go with the Titans secondary on paper, it absolutely matches up better than a year ago in Kansas City. I mean, there's no question. They didn't have Malcolm Butler. They did not have the speed of Christian Fulton, which you would think in a game like that would be deployed. So from that perspective, they could be better equipped. But again, it's just, I mean, they're not stopping the run like last year. They're not rushing. I mean, it's amazing to think this team's got to go get pass rush after their 43 sack season of 2019. And how incredible do 43 sacks sound right now?
Pretty nice. Pretty nice.
But that's the other matchup problem, is you don't have Dean Pease helping you match up with the Chiefs like you did last year. So not well. You take a crack. But hey, the Titans offense matches up well with anybody.
That's true.
So get to that game, go play it.
We're going to have Lewis Riddick from ESPN joining us to begin the 9 o'clock hour here in the next segment. Very quickly, I do want to pass on some breaking news this coming. I've seen this all from multiple places on Twitter. It looks like Derek Mason, former Vanderbilt head coach, is going to become the new defensive coordinator at Auburn. So, Joe, very quickly, your reaction to that.
Yeah, I know that LSU was talking to him not too long ago. So good for him. He was staying in the league. He knows the league well, obviously. And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that Derek Mason would get, a good D coordinator job. And, you know, I'm very interested anyway in Brian Harsin and what he's going to be able to do at Auburn. That's kind of a fascinating hire to me, going up to Boise to bring him in. So it's an intriguing staff, and not surprised that Derek Mason has a good job for next year. Not at all.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Lewis Riddick from ESPN, part of their Monday Night Football crew. Looking forward to that conversation with him. We'll get into the Titans and Ravens matchup. Also look around the rest of NFL Wild Card Weekend as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.